Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Murray Musings. This one is our Surbiton special because we had a great week last week. I'm joined here by my dear friend Peter, and we're looking forward to chatting everything Andy. Peter, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
It's been a good week to be an Andy Murray fan, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes,
indeed. A really, really good week.
Just a couple of trophies this year, that's all.
Yeah,
biggie.
I mean, so that was, we had a trophy in Provence on the, it was like the 6th of May or something like that. And then just like 5 short weeks later, we've got a trophy on grass. So already we've got 2 surfaces and 2 trophies. So all we need now is a little trophy on a hard course. I mean, I would take more grass trophies, but...
Yeah, we're taking 3 more trophies.
Yeah.
We're taking Nottingham, Queens, of course, for the 6th time. And then Wimbledon, just, you know, for the 3rd time.
Casual 3rd time at Wimbledon. I'd be up for that. I'd be
happy about that. Charm. And then I'm going to Cincy, so he's going to take that hardcourt title,
there
right?
And then we'll have one on every surface.
Exactly. So we'll be good. We'll be set.
Awesome. 2023 is the year, isn't it? It's turning into the year. It's turning into the year. And I'm feeling very, very excited about Andy's prospects for grass. Like, it's been a great start to this the grass season, hasn't it? It really, really has. Let's just take it all the way back to last week in Andy's open match. And he kept us on our toes, didn't he? Because we weren't sure if he was going to play Surbiton. He waited until the very last minute to announce that wild card. And we were all hoping it would happen, but there was nothing was being said. And then we found out he was at Surbiton practicing, but even then there was no announcement. And then Laura Robson mentioned it on Radio 5 Live, I believe, that he was going to take the wild card. And I think that was maybe on like the Friday, but I was still like, is he actually going to take it? Like, I don't want to get too excited in case it all just turns out to be hearsay.
Yeah.
And then finally, we got the announcement. Was it maybe Friday afternoon or Saturday? I can't quite remember, but that he was taking this wild card for Surbiton, and the grass season officially got underway. Very exciting.
Indeed.
Very, very exciting. So let's go with Andy's first match, which was against Hyun Chung. I was so excited to see him back on court. And he's a good guy, isn't he? But he had to lose.
He had to lose. I felt bad, but he just had to lose.
I thought it was going to be a tough match.
I thought so too.
It was more straightforward than I thought it was going to be, because what it ended up being 6-3, 6-2. Nice, didn't look like Andy was too troubled throughout it. He looked really comfortable back on home turf, back on his favourite surface. I felt like he wasn't, with no disrespect to Chung, I just feel like he didn't really test Andy that much. I thought Andy he played well, you know, and it was great to see him back on court. And it was one of those matches where, like, you knew really that Andy should win it, that he was going to win it. But given that it's Chung and he's an excellent tennis player, you just never knew. Like, you're like,
seen Chung play like pretty well.
Yeah. And I always remember, like,
sadly, it was before injuries.
Yeah. And it was a long time ago, but I still remember what Chung did at the Australian Open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's always there in the back of my mind. It was amazing to see him back playing. It was brilliant, and that was a great victory. And he just looked so happy afterwards and so relaxed. Anything more to say about the delightful Hyun Chung, Peter?
I'm just glad that he's back. I didn't even realize on our last pod, Scott and I said that he's you know, played what, 3 matches now before that. So mm-hmm. he had entered in 2 matches in Asia. So hopefully him, Nishikori, and Raonic, who just played today, mm-hmm. right? They're back. So, I mean, all of the guys that are like good, nice players are mm-hmm. back and hopefully mm-hmm. healthy. And so I'm just looking forward to what else he can do this season. So just happy for him.
So after that, Andy had a day off, give his old legs a rest, and then he was up against, and now I think it was Inchiketti.
Uh-huh. Inchiketti, right?
I think we did listen. We, in case you're impressed with Peter and I, we did actually listen to the ATP pronunciations. Because I know that we have previously...
Several times.
Previously.
And I let you say it first.
Yeah. So I might still have got it wrong, but I think I got it a lot more correct than what I would have done if I just tried to pronounce it without listening to the ATP the ATP pronunciation. He was a qualifier, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave Andy quite a tough first set because it went to a tiebreaker,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Which Andy thankfully won. I'm trying to remember how that set went, and I can't quite think back to, were they just on serve the entire time, or did Andy get a break and then he get broken back?
To be honest, like the past 4 weeks have been a blur of like just whatever's happened. And I've just been on vibes. I'm like, okay, he won the set. Like they won the set, whatever. Like with the French Open happening and now Andy back, I'm just holding on for dear life. Let's be real. So I don't know if it was on.
I feel like Andy had a break in that first set.
Okay.
And got broken back.
Okay.
I could be totally wrong. I mean, I know that happened, but in another match, I feel like that happened a couple of times in this tournament. Please slide into our mentions and let me know if I'm correct or incorrect on this one, but I do feel like he had to break a serve in the first set and then get broken back. Anyway, went to tie break, which Andy won, and then that kind of seemed to set him in a bit of a more comfortable path, got him on his stride, and he won the second set 6-4. So again, the second match in a row, he had a straight sets victory, which is always good to see because it means he gets off court quicker, more time to rest up. Did Andy Murray win in straight sets account gets to have a fun day with all of that. And again, he seemed really chuffed afterwards and pleased with the performance. Don't you think? Peter's too busy looking at his phone, everyone. I can see him looking down at his phone.
I was letting you talk while I looked at the whole entire setup on the app looking to see if he was broken or not, pretending to be the expert that I am, to be like, oh yes of course
it's just occurred to me that he broke. I remember now, I'm having flashbacks, but actually ladies and gentlemen, he is sitting on his phone cheating. Well, I try and sound like I know what I'm talking about. Peter's sitting here scrolling on Google. So that was that match again. Like once he found his rhythm, that was him, wasn't it? Like he got the break in the second set, and it was pretty straightforward, and that was him through to the quarterfinals. I always think it's, you know, like in tournaments where it's, you know, like at a draw of 32, I'm always like, how is it the quarterfinals already?
Yep.
When you've only played 2 matches. I mean, I'll take it because it's quarterfinals, but I always find that interesting. Like, you know, obviously you play 2 more matches in a slam and at least one more in a 500 and a Masters 1000. In fact, in some Masters 1000s, you play the seven rounds, don't you? But he made it through to the quarterfinals, and he was up against Aussie, Jason Kubler.
I love how you pronounce Jason's name. Ranked 69 in the world.
Is he 69? Uh-huh. Oh, we should have Owen from Tennis and Bagels on, because that would be his favorite thing to talk about if he knew that he was ranked 69 in the world. So
it's just a fact. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he'll still be 69 because he wouldn't have moved up after Andy beat him. So that was probably Andy's toughest match, wasn't it? You know, like it started nicely, nice 6-3 victory in the first set. And then I don't really know what happened in the second set. Kubler just sort of found his feet, didn't he? And it ended up, I think Kubler took the second set 6-3.
No, Jason won the first three. So it was 6-4. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it was. I thought Andy took the first set and then lost the second.
Mm-mm.
So it wasn't a nice, straightforward start then at all.
I thought you were saying that Jason had a easy first set. Sorry.
Jason did, by the sounds of it. So, okay. Andy lost the first set, which... Are you sure?
Am I looking at the right activity? Yes.
Are you sure? I was really convinced that Andy won the first set. Did I dream that? Have I just completely made that up, that he won the first set and then... I have just totally made that up. Where did I get that from?
I don't know.
Can you do some talking while I figure out what's going on in my head, Peter?
Well, so Jason is a great player. He's a great doubles player. And so I honestly was a little nervous about how he would do in that match. But luckily, he got through in three sets. So it was good to see him play it. He beat Ryan Peniston in the round of 16. And so I was like, oh, crap. Like, Ryan's a good guy. And he won the second set by a tiebreaker. So it was good to see Andy getting through in three sets, of course.
And it obviously ended up being, once Andy got a grip and started playing better, then it was a nice victory. And actually, maybe just having that wee bit extra time on court was good.
Yeah.
Time on the grass. And so that was him through to the semi-finals, where he met Jordan Thompson. Now, I truly dislike Jordan Thompson.
Why?
Because, Peter.
Oh, were you there for that match?
Yes.
In 2017. Let's talk about that match.
In 2017, Jordan Thompson was the lucky loser at Queen's. Uh-huh. He shouldn't even have been playing. He was the lucky loser. And for the life of me, I can't remember who Andy was supposed to play that day, round one at Queen's. But it was announced on the day that it was going to be Jordan Thompson as the lucky loser. And I remember being like, this is going to be an absolute walkover. Oh my god, it's going to be so easy. And it wasn't.
Butter.
And Jordan Thompson beat Andy. And yeah, like I've never really got over that, because not only did that happen, but I actually watched that day at Queen's. I saw the top three seeds get knocked out. And I believe that was Andy, Stan Wawrinka, and I think it was Marin Cilic. I want to say the third one was Marin Cilic.
That sounds about right.
And they all get beaten that day on centre court. And I was like, I can never return to this tournament ever. Like, clearly, I've jinxed it.
Oh, yeah.
By the top three seeds losing. And I also get shoofed by, like, this elderly old aristocrat who I presume was, like, the Queen's cousin or something. who was, like, clutching her pearls because I was being too Scottish and you know, not posh enough for Queens, because I was, like, losing my mind, shouting for Andy to just do something. And this woman turned around and shoofed me. So, yeah, I have a lot of bad memories of Jordan Thompson. So I was like, yeah, I don't like this guy. And also, I'd forgotten what he looked like. So, like, when he came out against Andy, I was like, who the fuck is that? That's not Jordan Thompson.
That's kind of hilarious.
And I thought that was going to be a really difficult match, actually, because, like, he is a good grass court player, as much as it pains me to say. And in that match, definitely 100%, Andy had a break in the first set and then was broken back, because that one went to a tie break. And I do remember getting stressed out because he was broken back, I think, immediately upon breaking Thompson's serve. But, you know, we got there. We got the tie break. It was all sorted. And then, you know, kind of coasted in the second set and won at 6-3. And it wasn't actually as stressful as I thought it was going to be. And then before we knew it, we had a final.
Yes. Against Yuri Rodionov.
Yuri Rodionov. And that was actually, in the end, that was a really straightforward win. And he basically, Andy bookended the tournament with a 6-3, 6-2 win against Chung and a 6-3, 6-2 win against Rodionov. And it's just a really nice way to end the tournament, I think. And he looked so happy, didn't he? Like, he was so happy, so relaxed. I mean, it took a while to get to the end of that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a rain delay, like, they were off for, like, 3 hours.
Yes.
Which must have been really frustrating, because they postponed play when Andy was love 40.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he had 3 break points, and that's when the match was suspended for the rain delay. And it was like that for like 3 hours or so.
It felt like it. I honestly don't remember if it was that long. It felt like 3 hours. But there was another match going. I don't know if you remember that or not. But somebody was like, I'd rather watch the grass courts be covered from the rain delay than watch a final going on.
There was another match on.
There was another match going on in another country, just right across the channel. So, yeah. Anyway.
Doesn't ring any bells.
Nope, doesn't ring a bell to me either. So yeah, I am definitely pleased that Andy has won a title. And,
you know, somewhere in a darkened room, Scott is screaming at us. He's screaming a name right now. And to quote Andy Roddick, that name rhymes with Smovac Smokovic.
Oops. I told Scott, I was like, you've got to be here, but he's not here right now. So we get to talk about what we want to talk about.
Hey, listen, it's a Surbiton special. We said it that is. At the start, it's a Surbiton special. So Andy won a trophy, which was absolutely amazing. It was just like a pure joy to see, because obviously when he won that trophy in Provence a few weeks ago, that was the first trophy since, well, he did the doubles trophy with Feliciano Lopez at Queens in 2019, but that was the first singles trophy since where did he win against Andrinka? Antwerp,
in 2019?
Yeah, in 2019. So, like, yes, yeah, so that was his first trophy. It was also his first clay trophy since 2016.
Okay. Rome.
Yeah, so there was that. And now he's got his first grass trophy since 2016.
Yep.
Because that the last time Andy won a trophy on grass was Wimbledon 2016. Which is just insane. It's insane. It's like nearly 7 years ago. So to see him pick up that trophy, to see him pick up that trophy in Surbiton, and the thing is, it's pretty much always going to be a home crowd when it's a grass tournament because most of the grass is here. It was just absolutely amazing, but it's a shame because he said that, you know, his wife Kim had come up with the kids.
I was just about to say,
just as the rain started, so they then had to leave, so they missed him lifting the trophy, which is a shame because, like, obviously that would have been like the first time really that they would have got to see something like that.
Yep.
But he gave them like a really lovely shout out in his interview, and he's like, you know, I hope you're watching, and reeled off all their names, although it looked like, you know, obviously he's got like a million kids, so it looked like he was really trying to remember. Don't miss one out, don't miss one out. And it was just really cute, and it was really nice to see. I'm so glad that he's back and he's won. And I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Let's
just imagine just for a minute, because I feel like he's playing well. He looks
manifest another win this week.
He looks at home on the grass courts. Marcus Buckland tweeted that he just had a feeling that this was the start of a really special grass season for Andy. And I totally agree with him on that. So we're recording this on Tuesday. It'll be uploaded on Wednesday. So basically today/yesterday, Andy played his first round match against Joris Delore in the Nottingham Challenger. And again, another comfortable win, 6-3, 6-4. He hit 11 aces in that match today. He did the most beautifully perfect Andy Murray lob. He just looked really, really good, like really comfortable. Like, this is his turf. And I think he's feeling good as well. Lendl's back. I mean, I think this,
like,
absolutely
back
hilarious.
As in present, like in the stands.
I find this absolutely hilarious. Lendl in Nottingham. Do you know what I mean? Like, in Nottingham.
He heard me on one of the last pods where I was like, he needs to be physically present.
Yeah, and the man needs to come in here and his paycheck.
Exactly.
But I expected him, obviously, definitely expected him at Wimbledon. Half expected him at Queen's. 100% did not expect him to rock up in Nottingham, of all places.
Yeah.
I find that hilarious. Like, where is he staying in Nottingham? Is he staying at, like, the Premier Inn? Or, you know, like... The Nottingham
is
Travel
small
Lodge
little suburb.
I suppose it is a city, but it's not massive.
I love it how I said a suburb. I'm just thinking of him like at a house, of course, like most tennis players with their camps have houses, but a little wee English cottage.
Maybe, he's maybe in a little thatched roof cottage. Yeah, so he's back. He's got Johnny O'Mara, who you could hear, like, Johnny was, like, being a proper cheerleader during today's match.
And that's what I said, I love. That's what I need.
Yep. Well, you've
that's
got
what Andy needs.
You've got Lendl, who brings, like, that sort of aura of, like, I'll give you praise when I feel it's really, really, really been earned. I might just crack a smile. I might clap once. But the rest of the time, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be like, I'm unreadable.
Yep.
And I'm going to
just
make
nod
you want
your head.
I'm going to make you want to work harder because you're going to want to please me because you want to see that minute smile. And then you've got Johnny on the other side who's like a fucking golden retriever you know, like jumping up and down, like, yeah, Andy, you're the best ever, love you, you know. So it's like a nice balance actually between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
You know, Glendale's like the cat who's always judging you. Johnny's a golden retriever who just absolutely adores you and wants to be around you all the time.
I've never thought of Yvonne as just a cat. Yeah, I see it. I see the analogy.
But do you know what? Do you know, actually, one of the things that initially got me this week is, like, he's meeting fans. And yes. He's taking photographs with them. And he never
met our friend Michael Lobwinners on mm-hmm. Twitter, and they both look stunning.
Yeah.
Andy just shaved and smiling and happy.
And sweaty.
Yeah.
He was really sweaty. He was really sweaty. I bet he was.
Apparently, it's a little hot up there.
Yeah, it's roasting.
Where y'all are at.
It's absolutely roasting. Like, so in here in Glasgow, right currently, it's 21 degrees and it's 10 past 10 at night.
Yeah.
And it's like been like 27, 28 during the day. So it'll be warmer down in Nottingham.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so like Michael got a really nice photograph with Andy, who looked very sweaty. And I said to Peter, I bet he's absolutely stinking as well. I bet he smells gross. He'll be so sweaty and so minging. But like, that wouldn't bother me. I would just like a photograph with him again. And yeah, he got a photo with Yvonne, who smiled
mm-hmm.
in the photo. And so now I'm thinking that it's not Yvonne who's the problem. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Because he didn't smile like that when I asked him for a photo, Peter.
Maybe he just wasn't in the mood, and that's fine.
Well, yeah, but then he stood next to me for 5 minutes. And, you know, obviously I've told this story a lot, right? I'm not going to go into it in great detail again, but I've obviously told it enough times now that when certain people saw that photo of Michael and Lendl, they tagged me and they were like, hey, look, it is possible to get a picture with him.
Uh-huh.
Those mean people making me feel even worse. So yeah, that's been Andy's, like, so far dream week on grass. Like, he's played 6 matches, he's uh-huh. 6 for 6, and he's only dropped, of those 6 matches, he's only dropped 1 set. I would say that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's facing Hugo Grenier next tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
is it tomorrow? Because he thought he was getting a day off.
On Google, I'm looking at, it says tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought
challenger event.
I thought it said on the order play on the TNS app as well. I thought it said tomorrow. Although it does say a week in court allocation.
Okay. It says to be determined, but yeah, TBD. But it says tomorrow.
Mm. It does say tomorrow. And yeah, Andy was hoping he was going to get a wee day off. And Liam Brody's playing as well.
Uh-huh.
Liam's playing to see tomorrow. That.
What I was just about to say was his opponent tomorrow, Hugo Grenier, played doubles against Omara and Liam Brody. So I'm sure they have a few tips to get...
Let's talk about that for a wee second. What about Johnny O'Mara and Liam Brody teaming up and winning?
I love it.
Last week, how good is that?
So it was a nice little singles trophy for Andy, and then a doubles trophy title for the boys, Liam and Johnny.
Love that.
Yeah,
I was thinking, just like, they look like they have so much fun together, don't they?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, Johnny O'Mara seems like such a good laugh. I remember last year watching him play. He was playing mixed doubles at Wimbledon, and he teamed up with Lissy Barnett, and they played Jamie Murray and Venus Williams
uh-huh.
in the mixed doubles, and they beat them. And, like, obviously I was ghastly devastated by it because I wanted Jamie and Venus to win. But Johnny's just like infectious.
Yeah.
You know, like his enthusiasm is infectious. Him
when they beat them. But it just, I was like, Johnny, can you please lose?
Yeah, can you just stop? Yeah.
Yeah. But just it, stop. I mean, it was a good win for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really was. And yeah, he's just like, he's like a fun guy. You know, he seems really brand new, nice, good laugh. Like at Battle of the Brits, he was just like massively cheerleading everyone on. He was just living his best life. So he's like, I think he's a good guy to have like on your team. And it was really cool to see him and Jamie, not him and Jamie, him and Liam playing doubles together. I wonder if they might team up at Wimbledon or if Johnny will have to be with Andy all the time. But I suppose it also depends, because it depends actually, because Liam will need to qualify for Wimbledon, won't he?
Yeah.
So possibly not. But speaking of doubles, isn't Andy planning on playing doubles at Queen's? Did we see this somewhere that he's going to team up with Cam Naughty?
Yes, of course. He's playing with Cam.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah, I love it.
Imagine he did a Feliciano Lopez and became the King of Queens and won both doubles and singles.
I mean, he already is the King of Queens with the titles. Oh,
yes,
but yes.
He is, yeah, but like,
yes,
became the
doing singles and doubles would be good.
Yeah, the undisputed King of Queens. I could be here for that.
Yeah.
Can very much be here for that.
I am ready for it.
I'm just with trophies in this grass season.
I'm so sorry you cut out for a second. I don't know what you said with the grass court titles.
Yeah,
huh?
I'm so here for him. I'm so ready for him to sweep the board.
Yes.
With trophies in the this grass season. I had something that I wanted to say, then I lost my train of thought because you didn't hear me. And it's the article that you shared with us earlier that he had actually been planning to play Stuttgart. To try and defend his points, but the points have already been taken off. So actually, he's got no points to defend now between now and Wimbledon. He's only got points a game, which is absolutely amazing. But he was going to play Stuttgart, and he decided to do Nottingham instead because the conditions are more like the courts in the second week of Wimbledon, and I think that says a lot. Like, he has got big plans for Wimbledon.
Yeah, and it was smart.
Yeah,
James Gray from iPaper reported that. So, I mean, that's his main goal for this year. So I get it. And if you don't have to travel all the way to Stuttgart to play and play at home with the rest of your family and crowd just you know, cheering you on, I'm all here for it.
And what a treat for anyone who's got tickets for Nottingham.
Yes,
you know, like
a few of my friends were like, please let him play in Nottingham instead of Stuttgart, and I was like, I'm just manifesting it for y'all, and he did.
Yeah. So nice. It's so good. It's going to be a good week. I can feel it. It's going to be a good week.
Yeah.
I'm excited for him. And then I'm traveling down to London on Sunday. From Queens. So I'm going to Queens Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
And Andy always plays on a Tuesday.
Okay.
Queens never plays the opening Monday. So I've got a grounds pass because Queens is so expensive. Like for the small tournament that it is, it's outrageously expensive. So I was like, it's a lot to travel down. Obviously, you need to get accommodation. I probably can't do centre court on both days. So I was like, I'm going to just take the risk and hope that they stick to the regular schedule that they do. And Andy plays centre court on the Tuesday. So I've got a grounds pass for the Monday and centre court on Tuesday. So
They better stick to it.
If they decide to mix the schedule up this year and Andy's playing on Monday, you will hear me scream from London.
Surely they know his schedule and they want him as the king of Queens to practice on the grass first and get used to it and then play Tuesday. I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that, you know, all of the courts in the UK have been rigged for Andy and given him wild cards over the many years and whatnot. But I would think that that would be done for you and for him to be played on Tuesday.
Pretty much since the dawn of time, or since Andy's time, he's played on a Tuesday in Queens. So
okay, it's funny how I haven't noticed, but okay,
it's all because I was thinking back to like to the year that I went. I was like, what day was the last day, the only time that I went, and it was Tuesday, and it was because I had done my research from the previous years and what day he played round one, and it was always the Tuesday, and so I took a punt and I got the tickets for the Tuesday, and it was, and he did play on the Tuesday. And then I spoke to a couple of Andy fans who I'm friends with who went a couple of years ago, and they go regularly, and they were like, no, it's always a Tuesday for Andy. A Tuesday. So got my center court, I'm literally in the very back row. I was like, you know what?
It's Queens. I'm there. Let's be real. You're there.
Yeah. I'm there.
Lucky to be there.
So, yes, I'm going there for that. So, hopefully, you'll be there on the Monday practicing. This is Queens is like, it is quite a snobby tournament. You know, like, there's been a lot of complaints about Queens and the way that they will try and manipulate play. Like, if there's a rain delay, Queens will try and manipulate play so that they just make that cut off where they don't need to refund people their money. And so there's been a lot of things, but like, if you can kind of look past that, Queens is a really good tournament for being able to like mingle among the players, because like the other Queens is, albeit a very fancy, very expensive members club, Queens is just it's a tennis club. So like all the other courts apart from Centre Court, which gets kind of built up for the tournament specifically, all the other courts are really open and accessible, including the practice courts.
Just about to ask, sorry, go on if you're explaining it. How many actual show courts do they have? Because of course I can see the Centre Court that's like nestled in between the really nice suburbs in the Queens area. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, so what do they have?
I'm just trying to visualize the layout in my head, and I feel like there's six outdoor courts.
Okay.
And then there's some, I think there might be three practice courts.
Okay.
But it's just like, it's easy to kind of wander around and like players just walk past you and just like, oh my God, there's Marin Cilic right there in front of me. And like, there's like last year, for example, our friend Hanya went and she just met everyone at it. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just like living her best life. Like every time a player moved, Hanya was next to them, like, oh, photos, please.
Hanya always gets the good selfies.
So I'm actually going with her on the Monday. So hopefully Andy will be there practicing.
So
it'd be really cool if I got to speak to him and get another wee picture.
Yes.
With him before and wish him luck for Tuesday. And of course, he'll have won his second grass trophy of the season by that point as well.
Of course.
So, like, he'll obviously be buzzing. And he'll be up for it.
Yeah. I could see that.
So, this is where we are. This is my favorite time of year. It's the most wonderful time of year.
Yeah. Grass season is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yep. And I'm staying in a nice little Airbnb around the corner from Queens, so I'm very much looking forward to feeling a bit like the Queen of Queens myself when I'm down there.
I'm excited for you.
Me too. I'm excited for me. just buzzing to see Andy again.
And then you'll see Andy at Wimbledon too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope so.
You will.
I mean, I hope so. Like, I've got my centre court ticket for the Monday.
Uh-huh.
So if Andy's not playing Like, this is the thing when you're only allowed to buy for one day. You really need to take a risk, don't you? You just need to hope luck of the draw. So I'm asking y'all to manifest Andy for Tuesday for Queens, but Andy for Monday for Wimbledon. Don't get the two of them mixed up.
Imagine, historically speaking, we looked at the whole entire time his career span that he's been at Queens every single Tuesday, and now it's
we're
Monday.
Just going to make it Monday. And then why Wimbledon
Tuesday. They wouldn't do that to you. They wouldn't do that to us. We need the content.
I mean, they would.
Yvonne would be like, no, let's switch this.
Yeah, we don't like this. Again, I'll switch it. Yeah, because if that happens for Wimbledon, then who am I going to see on centre court? You know who I'll see on centre court? If it's not Andy's day, it'll be it'll be Shmovak Shmokovic.
I love it how I paused and I'm like, do I say it? Do I need to say it?
It'll be that guy whose name rhymes with Shmovak Shmokovic.
Who's won it just a couple of times.
I mean, I could get to see someone like Carlos Alcaraz, but I'd rather see Andy first.
Of course. Yeah.
And also I'll need to get up at a ridiculously early time on Tuesday morning to queue.
Yes.
So let's just manifest a Monday for Wimbledon. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Good. And I think on that note, our grass season Surbiton special has come to an end, and hopefully next week we'll be recording a Nottingham special after Andy wins the Nottingham Challenger and gets another 125 points and brings himself within touching distance of a Wimbledon seeding.
Yep.
So yeah, thanks everyone for joining us. It's been a bit of a quieter pod this evening, I think.
Yeah.
Because we've been missing Scott. And we have just talked Andy. If you came here for anything else, we do apologise, but our favourite topic is Andy Murray, so that's what we're going to talk about. What I will do
called Murray Musings for a reason. So
what I will just do actually is give a shout out to Robbie Wright, who won our last player standing competition for Roland Garros. He predicted the winner, which was, of course, oh, sorry, guys, Peter's frozen.
Oh, no, I'm not frozen. I thought you were going to say his name.
I thought you were going to say his name. Robbie predicted our winner, which was, of course, Novak Djokovic. And and
Casper Ruud went to another final. So,
yeah,
but yes, go on.
Robbie predicted the score, and he actually got, albeit they were in the wrong order, he predicted the scores for sets 1 and 2 exactly correct, just the wrong way around. So Robbie was our winner for the last player standing. So congratulations to Robbie Wright. If I can ever get the Suzanne book off of Scott, I will be sending it to you. And if I can't, then I'll try and get you something signed by Andy at Queens. So on that note, everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you've made it this far, as ever, we really appreciate your support. Andy really appreciates your support. I know this because he told us, because we like to have deep conversations with him. Tune in. Hopefully next week we'll be back, fingers crossed, with Scott to talk about Andy's run in Nottingham and his outlook for Queens. So he's been Peter, I've been Claire, and we have been Murray Musings. Bye, everyone.
Take care.